This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. This morning we're going to be talking law and order, your safety. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing this morning?
A little bit cool out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little chilly this morning.
But it's going to warm up, and everybody can enjoy the warmer temperatures. When the weather is cool, does that bring about a drop in crime? Do burglars and robbers like to get out on cold days?
Well, when it's really, really cold, most people like to stay indoors that day.
Something else good about cold weather, then.
Yes, that's the one good thing I see about cold weather.
But it kills bugs, too, supposedly.
Yes, supposedly.
I don't know if that's true or not.
It with the bugs, well, that's what my grandfather used to say, is, with a good cold winter, that you would have less bugs during the summer.
We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, well, this one
hadn't been too bad, so we may have a bunch of bugs.
We may be inundated with mosquitoes this year.
Well, you have pretty much a full house still out there, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We've got the population, as of yesterday afternoon, was 810 inmates there at the jail. So we're at about 78% capacity for the jail.
Now, when we look at that, I know we've talked in past programs about how you seem to get a lot of state people who are waiting to go to a state correctional institution, and the state's not paying you what it's costing.
Correct.
to house these folks. And there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
But how many state inmates are you basically footing the bill for? We're footing the bill for it, aren't we?
Well, we've got 202 convicted felons within the jail right now. We've got 32 parole violators. Right now we're also housing 226 convicted misdemeanors within the jail. And then we have 319 inmates that are right now waiting to go to court. They're pretrial inmates. And 34 convicted felons with less than a year. And we're also housing one juvenile over at the jail.
How did you get that?
The juvenile court system sentenced him over to our facility out of his facility. He's got, I think, 4 sexual battery charges, possession of Schedule 3 narcotics, criminal conspiracy, 4 aggravated assault charges, aggravated burglary, possession of a weapon, and 3 aggravated robberies.
Now, I'm afraid to ask you how old this child is. If you say 7 or 8 years old, I'm gonna
No, he's 17, I guess, and we'll be 18 here in just a few months.
Oh, okay. So, I was afraid you were going to say he was 6 years old.
No, I hope not.
Have you ever seen cases like that, though? I mean, I'm sure there are.
When I was an SRO, I had to arrest a 7 or 8-year-old with possession of marijuana. Basically, he had gotten it, come to find out he got it out of his mom's purse and took it to school, kind of playing show and tell with it. But
so his parents were his role models?
Yes, I guess they were.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
and parents,
that's where they learn it.
You have to stop and you think about that. Am I being a good role model for my child, for my grandchild, for people who see you? And if you're a sports celebrity, I mean, these guys don't always admit it. I guess they don't want to admit it. But
no. They
are the role models.
They are.
For the majority of youth in the nation.
Yeah. It's just like, my daughter, I remember, I wanted to be like my dad and my grandfather, or my grandparents. I always, looked up to them. Your kids look up to you. And so, therefore, whatever you're doing, they know what you're doing. You can't hide it from them. And they know it. And sometimes they want to imitate it. Mm-hmm. They want to be just like you.
as we look at the people who are incarcerated at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center, and I'm sure this feeling goes from their children looking at them, we want to be just like you. When does it stop? I mean, or does it stop?
In some ways, it stops when the person that is incarcerated decides that they want to stop, that this is not the lifestyle for them.
They have to tell their kids.
And they have to sit down and get their life straight. And by getting their life straight, they can also get their family's life straight. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you offer services that can help people get your life straight then?
Oh, we have numerous services within the jail. It's all voluntary based, except for our GED program, which we do have a GED graduation tonight. We're graduating 8. But we have numerous churches throughout the community that come in and do faith-based programs. We did have several programs that were cut out last year in the budget due to the federal grants ran out, and they would help people get back into the community, get jobs, in different type courses about, you know, just getting their life straight and how to do those things. But the grant ran out, and unfortunately the county couldn't absorb those positions.
And that's a shame that that happened. Of course, I think we're going to probably be seeing more of that.
Because
in reality, the public, I think, is saying government's too big.
Yes.
And we're not saying that about county government or city government necessarily. But on the federal level, it's too big.
It's too big.
So that's where you're losing your funding.
Yes, we're losing funding there. And then naturally with all of our funding for the sheriff's office comes from property taxes. I mean, property taxes fuel school board. They fuel the general fund of the county budget, which is my office, and all the other offices and all the other constitutional officers of the county. And so naturally, there's one big pot, and it has to be divvied up. And I think the general consensus with the community is that they don't want a tax increase, and so therefore, you know, we naturally have to live within our budget, and we have to cut things.
Mm-hmm.
We've started our budget, and right now we've looked at, last year I brought it to everyone's attention that we had 6 non-funded narcotics positions that they were funded from the drug fund itself. And we're cutting those positions out of our budget right now as it stands. I mean, it's just preliminary. It's just with us right now. We haven't gone to the mayor or the commission yet with it, just in-house doing numbers and all that, but we're cutting it. We can't fund it no more. Last year, the commission said they couldn't do it last year. We'll ask for them to do it this year if they can do it. If they can't, then we'll be down to 2 narcotics detectives for the entire county. So
let me ask you this, because maybe I'm the only one who had this false impression, evidently, that the money that you confiscated in drug cases, mm-hmm. those cars that you stop on the interstate, the raids that you make, the money that you confiscate, you get to keep and use for drug programs. And I sort of thought, well, that's a cash cow. This is going to keep growing and growing. But it sounds like you're running out of money there.
Whenever they started funding the positions out of the narcotics money, there was over $1.5 million from what I was told. But they kept creating positions because the commission could not afford to add extra officers, so they tried to do it with this money. Well, over the time, the money has dwindled down to where it's barely funding the officers. There were 3 ICE positions, the guys on the interstate, that it was funding, and they cut that out the year before I took office because they had to do something. It was running out of money, so they cut 3 positions. Well, now we've got to the point where we've got to cut the rest because we can't, the fund can't sustain itself.
In other words, as we look at the economy and retail businesses are having some challenges, so are the drug salespeople.
Yes.
Okay.
We're not finding as much money or they're getting smarter and learning how to do different things with their with money and vehicles. You know, drug dealers aren't driving the big nice, let's say Lexuses. They're driving the Pintos because they know if they get caught, we're going to confiscate it. We'll drive something that's not worth anything. So, you know, it's a whole bunch of different things adding together when it comes to that.
So you're not really saying that the amount of drugs that we're seeing is down. You're saying that the way they're doing it's different.
Yes.
And we're not catching them.
We're not catching them as well because they've, you know, with the different strategies, you know, one thing that I was just told at a conference I went to that it was in Georgia. The guys, they had a bunch of drug dealers. They knew that they were collecting, let's call it dirty money, different drug money and all that. Well, then they would take it, go up to a casino, and they would cash in all the money at the casino. They play poker for a few hours or whatever. They cash it out. Now they've got, let's say, $100,000 laying in the seat right beside them, and they get pulled over here in Murfreesboro. And I'm just, this is just instant. I'm just, but they get pulled over here in Murfreesboro. And now we go, hey, where'd you get that money? And they go, hey, I've got a receipt. I've been gambling. I want all this gambling. And then we turn around and say, oh, you're okay. You got your receipt. You got your money. You got it gambling. You know, you had a good day at the casinos. Have a good day. See ya.
So is that what they call money laundering?
Well, yeah, it's washing the money is what I consider it. But, you know, there's numerous different ways to do it. And, you know, naturally, drug dealers are very creative. They're trying to stay one step ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to, you know, we're always playing catch up because, you know, they're trying to stay one step ahead of us.
There was a time not too many years ago that you would see, and I guess the big shootout that they had in California between, I think, some bank robbers and... it showed that those folks had so much more firepower than the police did. Is that changing?
Yes, that actually changed law enforcement throughout the country.
Okay, so they're not overpowering you then?
No, we've got AR-15s. We've slowly been purchasing AR-15s over, you know, several years since that happened. Instead of just going out and hitting the commission going, hey, we need to buy 216 AR-15s this year. We've bought, you know, 40 at a time or 20. And then we've cashed in with confiscated weapons. We've traded them in to get us AR-15s. So, you know, we've done things to make our steps. I think we need three more or four more to get all the patrol division having AR-15s. And then we'll start... The school resource officers have a Ruger carbine rifle. It's a 40 caliber rifle, and we're going to start swapping those rifles out for AR-15s.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold. How are you today?
I'm fine. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
My question, I don't know how many hours officers get trained in this, but I thought you might be able to tell me. When it comes to mental illness, do the deputies and the officers, do they, when they go through training, do they have a course that they go over that with them? Because it's so different, you know, than just your, you know, robbery and things like that, and how they know to handle someone that has mental illness.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang up.
Okay. Yes. Part of our 40-hour in-service training, there is a state requirement. State law says in that 40-hour in-service that we have, I think it's a six-hour block of mental health training to dealing with mental health people. One thing to, since society in the late 70s, started doing away with mental health institutes like the former Clover Bottom in Nashville. Now your largest mental health facility in the country is the Los Angeles County Jail.
Wow. That doesn't say a whole lot for the disease.
No, it doesn't say too much about society because, no. I mean, we're basically putting our mental health people out on the streets and they're doing different things. And then next thing you know, they're going to jail for whatever. for whatever crime that they committed. And then that's one of our biggest costs in our jail is dealing with mental health people and the medications. As I say, it's a tragedy for society that, you know, that's where most of the mental health people end up, is that they end up in the jail, and then we end up having to transport them. There's another big substantial cost to the sheriff's office. State law requires whenever a doctor requests for a mental health evaluation that it falls upon the sheriff of the said county to transport them to the mental health institute that he sends them to.
So it's not up to you.
No, it's not up to us. I mean, we've had...
If he says take him to Los Angeles?
Well, no, it's all in state. Oh, okay. It has to be within state, no. You know, we've had several runs where we've had to take people to Memphis, and we just drop them off. You know, we've actually had several, because the law requires us to wait with that person mm-hmm. for 1 hour and 45 minutes while they're getting their paperwork and all that. And we've waited and, you know, be there for an hour and a half, and then them turn around and look at us, go... Nope, we're not going to accept them. So then we've got to drive them all the way back.
How can they reject them?
They can do whatever they want. They're doctors. You know, I can't dispute that. You know, nobody can dispute it except another doctor. And they just say, well, we don't think that they fit the criteria. And they send them back. And so then we have to drive them all the way back. And we take them back to the hospital and drop them off. And, you know, it becomes the hospital's deal again. Because
to the local hospital here?
Yes.
Okay. But they're not equipped to handle that, are they?
Well, that's where you get – that's the troubling part for all sheriffs is, you know, we're kind of caught in the middle. The doctors tell us, and we have to by state statute, transport these people. Well, then we get there, they say they don't want them. Well, we don't want them. They haven't committed a crime, so therefore we can't detain them. So then we take them, drop them back off at the hospital and say, hey, you know, here's your guy again.
Now, a lot of people don't know this because there has not been a lot of conversation about it. Just a few news stories. There is a mental facility being built in Murfreesboro
yes.
right now.
Yes.
And it's across from the hospital next
yes.
to Roscoe Brown's on Thompson Lane.
I didn't
Lane.
Know exactly where it's at. I just knew there was one being built.
It's about half finished. Well, I mean, it's really coming along.
Oh, okay. I know exactly where that building is.
Yeah, it's a sort of a chartreuse green right now yeah. with the... with that insulation board on
it's
it.
It's sitting kind of county quarter right there.
Right there on the corner of, and they're tearing down one of that the old house that used
yes.
to be there. That's it. You can see the place coming along.
Well, we've talked about it in our office quite a bit, which is it's going to be a great thing for us because a lot of times, you know, we might have two or three of these a night where we have to transport
really?
Somebody. Oh, yeah.
So this is a major...
It's a major
job,
thing for us, and you know, and when we do that, say if it's you know third shift, you know we have less people on midnight shift than we do on some other shifts, and if you send two or three officers out of the county on a mental health evaluation transport, then you're left with less officers protecting the county, and so therefore by having this mental health facility here, hopefully you know we'll just almost end up driving across the street with them and dropping them off. And then we're able to get back to work quick.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Sheriff Robert Arnold is our guest this morning. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Sweeter than wine, softer than the summer night. Everything I want, I have. Magic moment while your lips are close to mine will last forever till the end of time.
Two powerful FM signals, one AM signal, and worldwide on WGNSradio.com. You can listen to us anywhere. We are WGNS Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro is home to the 2012 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. It's the Ford F-150, now in stock at Ford of Murfreesboro. Need something bigger? Check out their Super Duty line of trucks. They've got over 50 to choose from right now at Ford of Murfreesboro. Plus, they have over 50 Ford Escapes and over 50 Ford Mustangs in stock at Ford of Murfreesboro. Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com, Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Wrapping up our traffic reports for this morning. We still have a lot of congestion on 24 around the Hickory Hollow Parkway area, Bell Road area. That thins out just a little bit until you get to the junction there with I-40 westbound, and then it slows down again. In Murfreesboro, we have traffic easing. This is around the I-24 96 exit, I-24 at the 231 exit. Also traffic easing a bit, Broad at Church and Broad at Warrior. Get a $49 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. Let's take a look now at that Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Well, there is a patchy fog early, mainly cloudy skies, highs in the upper 50s, and we'll have a light wind out of the south-southeast. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber. Right now, 43.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Murfree Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11, WGNS, Murfreesboro. We cover Rutherford County. ABC News covers the world.
We are back.
I need love now more than before. I can hardly carry on anymore. My world is empty without you, babe. Without you, babe. Without you, babe.
Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning, and if you have any questions dealing with law and order here in Rutherford County, give us a shout, 893-1450, 893-1450. And when you hear about growth in the heart of Tennessee, it is more than just people moving into the area. Did you realize that most of the nearly 3,000 local jails around the country today are what you'd call small, holding fewer than 50 inmates, but about 2%... 2% are called mega jails, holding over 1,000 people. The nation's two largest local jails are Los Angeles County and New York City. They hold about 32,400, back in 2004 at least, and about 5% of the total jail population in those two locations. Well, we are about to be a mega jail. Robert, that's not something you've pushed for, is it?
No, it's not nothing we want. I don't think anybody wants to be classified that way. But yeah.
You said 810 today.
We got 810 yesterday when I left and made this piece of paper out. So,
wow.
Yeah, we're getting close, which naturally our jail can hold up to 956. And that is completely full, but I know yesterday when we were talking about different things with my commanders, I know level 3 and level 4, they said they're full. We can't put any more people on those levels.
So if you're out there committing crimes, don't commit level 3 or 4 crimes.
No. Talking about level 3 and level 4 of our jail
physically,
are physically full. You know, they have, each one of them have 2 inmates per cell.
Okay.
So, but naturally, even when we get full, we still got to keep them.
Yeah.
So,
put them somewhere.
Yeah, we'll stack. You know, we'll have to keep them somewhere.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great.
Morning.
I was calling. I my son-in-law was killed in Georgia back in November of last year by two known gang members, and we are trying to petition to have known gang members listed as what would be considered domestic terrorists. And we're trying to figure out how that would help some of the local jails and sheriff's department and police departments in some of the smaller towns that are having some gang activity going on. And I'll hang up and listen to kind of get a little bit of insight of what Sheriff Arnold thinks that we could do to kind of help this along.
And hold on, too, because we want to get your thoughts. First of all, we're so sorry that you lost your parents, especially in that way. It's tragic.
It was rough. He was a newlywed, just came out of the Army, had at the time, my five-month-old granddaughter who was born premature. Mm. So there was a lot going on, and it was a rough loss.
What was it, a small city or a big city or what?
It was in Athens, Georgia.
So something, I mean, you'd think that was a safe place.
Pretty much, yeah.
Had he lived down there long?
That was where his family was from.
You know, Robert, I think sometimes we have this false feeling of security, thinking that here we are in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We can go out, and pretty much we are much better than walking the streets of Memphis or something.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely
but,
Memphis.
But, you know,
anything can happen to anybody. I mean, you know, I think we are rather safe in Murfreesboro and in Rutherford County. We do have things from time to time that happen that, you know, I think most of the time they're random incidences that happen. You know, we can't all live in a concrete bunker underground to protect ourselves. We still have to live life. And we just pray that, you know, again, it goes back to the way people are raised, our kids are raised, and doing different things in their lives that lead them astray to want to harm people. That's, you know, that's one thing that it's always kind of bothered me, I guess you'd say, is, you know, why do people want to really harm people? It always has boggled me. Why do you really want to harm people? And, you know, I've talked to numerous people over my years of working in the jail and working in law enforcement, and there are some people out there that just, they have the want to harm people, and I don't understand that. You know, I can't wrap my mind around it, but we just have to do everything we can personally to secure ourselves, you know, whenever we're walking down the street or within our house. You know, in my house, just about all the time, I mean, we live with the doors locked. You know, even when we're home and just watching TV, you know, doors are locked. And I think most people, you know, it's sad. I think, you know, I used to listen to my grandparents talk about, you know, living here in Murfreesboro, and they never locked the doors. My grandparents in Nashville, when they passed away and we sold the condo that they lived in, no one knew where a house key was. They'd lived there for over 30 years, and no one had ever had a key that they, my mom and them, couldn't remember having a key to the house. So, yeah, and it was the original door locks.
Now people are putting in deadbolt locks and alarm systems and
all types
arming
of
themselves.
Yes, arming themselves, you know, sleeping with guns beside them. So, you know, it's the society we live in, and it's sad.
Well, now, ma'am, while you're on the phone, your suggestion, because you have experienced this, unfortunately, firsthand in your family, you're saying that to have sort of a, like a sex offender list, but what's going to make these people sign up?
We're trying to get legislation passed. In Georgia, they have something similar to what we're trying to have passed, but it's not the same thing. But basically, any person that has been identified as a known gang member, we're trying to have them treated as domestic terrorists to where they would get longer jail sentences. Because both the individuals that were involved in my son-in-law's murder, one had been had gotten out of jail not too very long prior to that for an armed robbery that he committed. And then the other gentleman, or I shouldn't say gentleman, the other individual that was involved in it, he was there when a convenience store was robbed with two other individuals. And they are known gang members. They have their tattoos on their Facebook pages. They have, you know, their gang affiliations and everything. Yep. And what we're trying to do is get a little bit stiffer sentence for those individuals because basically they are homeland terrorists. I mean, you know, they terrorize the communities that they live in. And so we're trying to get it done to where they are listed as domestic terrorists and so that they have a longer jail sentence. My question is, would it make it harder for the Sheriff's Department in housing those individuals, or would they become a state responsibility as far as having to go to actual prison time is what we're trying to figure out also. Because we don't want to make it a hardship on the local, you know, police department or sheriff departments. We want them, you know, to be in a state or federal prison system so that, you know, we know that they're not going to get out anytime soon. Because a lot of the local jails are having to release individuals early because of overcrowding. And so we're trying to find out the best avenues of which way to go with this. There's a website, it's called SignOn, .org, and basically you go down through there, and it's called Jeremy's Law, and you just click it where it says add to vote, or add to sign your signature, and it takes your email address. It doesn't send you any spam or anything. It just registers your email that you've signed on for the petition, and we, like I said, we've been trying to go about this to make it easier for the local department as we could and try to make it more of a state and federal crime so that it would hold a harsher prison sentence if we were able to get it passed.
Let me suggest this too. Every last Friday of each month, we have our Rutherford County delegation on the radio, just like Robert Arnold is on right now. But our state senators and state representatives will be here taking phone calls, listening to you on the last Friday of this month, of every month, as long as the General Assembly is going on. They are the ones who create laws in Tennessee. So I would like to encourage you to call back at this time of the day on the last Friday of the month. And thank you for calling. And again, we're so sorry for your loss.
Let me hit on her questions.
Sure.
MS-13 is a gang. It's called Mara Salvatrucha. It was a gang that started in a softball field out in Los Angeles. They are listed through the U.S. Department of Justice as a terrorist organization. They are a gang, and they are filtering throughout the country.
Do we have them here, do you think?
We have a few. We do have a few. There was a big painting they did up on Rutherford Boulevard a few years ago. I've attended a lot, and actually this year I go back to get my gang certification to be a expert witness for gang stuff. So I know quite a bit about this type of topic. I think my personal opinion is all gangs should be listed as homegrown terrorism. That's my opinion. We have anytime you pass a law that isn't going to incarcerate anybody, it naturally puts a burden through any jail system. But if it's a law that the community wants, then the community should support it. And the hard part that in my field is that the community wants stiffer sentencing, but then when we come to the situation like we're coming to with our jail, we know we've grown over 115 people in 1 year housed in the jail. within 1 year from now, we could possibly have 900 and let's say 40 inmates. Well, we're right there knocking on the door to where we're full. And so then you have the sheriff coming back to the county, letting the county commission know that, hey, commission, your jail is full, because the county jail belongs to the county commission. The sheriff is in charge and manages it for the county commission. So the sheriff comes back and says, hey, now we need to build another jail. And I barely remember it, but I remember a little bit of it when we built the 9-story jail out there. The community was up at arms because now we're looking at building a new jail with it'd be millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And the jail is the most costly thing to the community in county government because of the nature of the jail, because we are responsible for these people to be fed 3 times a day, for them to be clothed, for them to be have medical, everything that it takes to run your house, we have to do as a community to keep them incarcerated in jail. Mm-hmm. We just keep them locked up. I have several people ask all the time, well, why don't you build the tents like Sheriff Apayo out in Arizona? We can't. It's against state law.
It's 30-something degrees outside.
Yes, we live in a different climate than they are in Phoenix, Arizona. But also, a lot of people don't understand, Phoenix, Arizona has one of the newest and most modern jails in the country. And the people that are in the tents out there, they volunteer to go into those tents because the tents get them out there to where they can go outside and work. And they're volunteering to go out and be on the chain gangs. So as you do stiffer sentencing, it's like there's a bill right now on domestic violence to up the sentencing on domestic violence. It's kind of a double-edged sword. We're all for supporting the domestic violence laws. But yet, the way that these laws are written, they're going to fill up every jail in the state of Tennessee within 6 months of the passing of the law. And so...
And we're not solving the problem.
We're
taking them out of the homes, but we're not...
We're creating another problem.
Solving the problem, yes. Which that is supposedly a learned behavior in many cases. And then if you go to this situation of gangs...
Yes.
That's back to what we were talking about, I think, in the most part, at the beginning of the program, of lack of parenting guidance.
Exactly. And every child, when I was an SRO that was involved in gangs, you have Ala Jumba that is right now on trial up at the courthouse. He's probably being delivered here in the next 10 minutes. He is a known gang member. I had him at my school. I knew him as a child.
He was a student?
Yes, he was a student at Daniel McKee, mm-hmm, with me. And I knew he was a gang member then. He was proud to tell you he was a gang member.
How old was he?
At that time, he was in high school. He's probably a freshman. I had him, I think, freshman, sophomore, junior, and then his senior year is when I went down to Laverne High School. And that was one main reason why. It was because of my knowledge with different things that I was in, and I got involved in the gang stuff. We have them in our community. And it all comes back to they're not getting the support and the love at home, and so therefore they go out to their friends, and they're getting all the love in the world that they think that they need through that gang. That gang now, is their parent. They're taking them under their wing because their parents, and we've talked about this before, it's a vicious cycle. We're asking parents to get out here and get a job. They say you have someone on welfare or whatever reason. We're saying, hey, get a job. Get off this welfare. Well, then they go get a job, and some of them have to get 2 jobs to survive. Well, now they're out working 2 jobs to put food on the table and to pay the mortgage or the rent or whatever, and they're missing their kids. Well, while they're at work, their kids are out, running the streets or hanging out with people they shouldn't be hanging out with. And then we as society say, well, it's the parents' fault. Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword again. Do we want them to stay at home and raise their kids, or do we want them to get a job? Because of whatever social environment they're in, they can't get a job that pays where they can only work 1 job. They have to have 2 to survive. So it's all a society vicious circle and double-edged sword.
Sheriff Robert Arnold is our guest this morning. We have some folks on the line. If you'll hold on,
We'll come back, and you're coming up next, right here on WGNS.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Maybe you need a new mattress, but you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I had a very serious accident. I had Family Staffing come to me, and they have reached out. They have touched me in every way that they possibly could touch my heart.
Family Staffing Solutions, personal care assistance at its best.
It's an opportunity for all of us to enjoy the aging process.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions, 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
We'll have areas of patchy fog early, mainly cloudy skies, highs in the upper 50s, and we'll have a light wind out of the south-southeast. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feliuber. Right now, 43.
Broadcasting to every nook and cranny of Rutherford County's 618 square miles. FM 100.5, 101.9, and AM 1450.
Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning, and so are you. So let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Arnold. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Good morning.
Hey, appreciate your program as always.
Good morning.
And thankful for the law enforcement out in the community trying to do their best. When I say these things, I'm not criticizing law enforcement people in any fashion. But I want to challenge these people. When I just listened to the comments that some of these people are making, the callers and then the sheriff's department, but three things. How many lives could we save if the law enforcement and the politicians could get together on the same page? There's three things. Places to keep these people in instead of releasing them, like the lady called in earlier and said, repeat offending without robbing somebody, somebody else robbing the store, and then they're out again and they're killing people. That's a major problem we have, and that problem is due to the judges. Judges. Why don't people get with these judges and figure out something? Okay, I'm going to mention these three things and I'll listen to the comment. All right? Then you got these the repeat offenders I'm talking about. We do away with something, figure out how that. That's the... We're paying the politicians getting the good money and the sheriff's department. I know they don't get enough money for what they have to put up with, but it is good money. These people are smart. So I ought to figure out some way without... We're overcrowded, yes. Figure out some other way where it's not going to cost the taxpayers millions of dollars and house these people. Forget about the sum of the rights they have, but look at the rights they took away from all the millions of people in America by killing the innocent people, all right? That's what should be some challenges of what we got. Now, I don't have the answer, but we've got these people in position, so let's challenge these people to come up with it. You're talking about the politicians coming up on Friday. Figure out a way. This is a serious problem that's been going on for many, many years, and it's not going to change due to the more and more people in the violence, and you're talking about gangs, but there's other problems, too, besides gangs. So let's everybody try to get on the same page and figure out what can cut the cost some way, and let's hope we can all strive to do better. You know, and it is sad that we're not to have these broken homes and whatever reason these people committing crimes. That's, I don't know if you'll ever be able to figure that out, but what really the money, that's what the reason is. But if that's something, that's what I want to challenge our officials with this morning. I've just jumped in the truck and listened to the radio, but not being negative anyway, but this is something that could be figured out. All across the United States, we're having these problems with this, excuse me, I don't mention that, about the prisoners being out too, getting out. These are bad criminals.
Well, that's criminal. Let's find out what the sheriff says on that. Thank you for calling.
Thank you all really much for your program and enlightening the community with the service and that y'all provide. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. You have a great day. What about that?
Well, places to keep them. You know, it goes several different ways. When you have people that, I guess, don't have the funds to provide a place for them to stay, I guess they live out on the streets or they're homeless. And so therefore, if we as a society, I guess, want everyone to have a place to stay, naturally it's going to cost us more in taxes, and no one likes taxes. You know, he hit the nail on the head, you know, and I only got two questions. I don't know what the third one was, but, you know, he talks about the repeat offenders. Another old adage is, you know, that I heard growing up, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink. You know, we can teach these people, and they, you know, we try to do everything we can within our facility. Naturally, we have limited resources, and a lot of our stuff is voluntary programs. We love volunteers, and it's up to the person to absorb that and want to change.
And I think what he's saying is, if you can't absorb it and want to change, remove them from society.
But then we as a society have to pay to keep them away from cycle. Yes, it's all a vicious circle.
I don't know whether you saw this movie or not, but it was something about New York City had been turned into a prison. And you would go to this place, New York City, the whole city.
Really?
Was
kind of like Alcatraz?
Yeah, I guess. But it was totally out of control. I mean, it was just, they didn't even try to control it. They just put the people in there. Obviously, that's not the solution.
No.
But
we as a nation, the United States of America incarcerates more people of its society than any other nation in the world.
How about the world getting together and having a space program?
Well, you know,
put them on the moon.
Australia was originally prison for Britain.
Australia.
They would ship all that. They would ship everybody.
Country, the whole island.
Yeah, they would ship everybody from Britain to Australia. It was a debtor's prison. It was, you know, a criminal prison. It was everything. They just shipped you down there. That's how that society got started down there.
Obviously, all of our phones are full now. And we're out of time.
Well, if anybody would like to give me a call, my office number is 904-3010. So give me a call.
And if you have any thoughts, send us an email. I'd seriously like to hear from you. What can we do about this? Send them to the moon. That sounds pretty good. The more I think about it. But Robert Arnold, thank you for joining us.
Everybody's somebody's brother, sister, aunt, or uncle.
Everybody's somebody's fool.
Yeah. Well, another song. About that.
Have a good day.
You too, sir.